picture this. It's a cold winter's night. Snow is gently falling. Darkness surrounds you. And you struggle to see. Everything is obscured.
Of astronomers could identify. A light so bright that even darkness had to flee. A light so powerful that even the worst of what we had done was not only exposed, it was cleansed, forgiven, and forgotten. You see, this is why Jesus came to earth, to give us that light, so that we would have the same joy and the same love and the same light everywhere we go. And the best news is, this is a light meant for all. It is freely offered. You see, Christmas is more than the warmth of friends and family, more than nostalgia, the gifts, and memories. It is about the greatest gift ever given, because a world in darkness has not only seen a great light, no, we have seen the greatest light, and his name is Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand together this morning. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you all for coming. Thank you to our special guests. Thank you for visiting us today. We're going to sing a few carols together. But let's get started. Lord, we thank you so much. God, we want to celebrate your birth today. We want to celebrate your coming onto this earth. Lord, we thank you so much. And we just want to give you glory. We want to give you honor today. Holy Spirit, move around this service, Lord. Fill our hearts, touch our hearts, Lord. Open our eyes to your word today. And God, may we just celebrate with love together. May we be filled with your joy. Lord, we just want to celebrate today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sing, hark the herald angels sing.
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful are ye nations, rise. Join the triumph.
Son of righteousness, light and life to
clap offering this morning.
Soul felt its worth.
us to love one.
So much. Hey, it is so great to see everyone today. Welcome to our River Family Christmas. And especially to those of you who are our guests, we're thrilled you're here. And on behalf of the whole church family, I welcome you. I'm Rod, I'm the pastor here. And we just have a great morning ahead of us. What I want to do first right now is I want to release our children to their very, very special time. They're going to have a birthday party for Jesus, everybody. So I know that they're going to get ready to go, so our teachers are in the back. They're ready to receive the children and escort them to our children's ministry area. So parents, you can make your way back there, and that will be great. Okay, so before you're seated, though, I would like you to do this. Just tell someone, it's Christmas is time, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Will you just turn to someone and say, Christmas peace to you today before you're seated? And that'd be great. All right. Well, very, very good. Well, hey, everyone. So this morning, I just wanted to mention, if you are a guest with us and you haven't discovered already, we do have a welcome card in the back of a seat in front of you, most likely. And look, if there's a way we can serve you, minister to you in any way, reach out to you, let us know. Fill out this card, or you just want to get acquainted. That's great, too. This card, once filled out, can go in one of the two boxes on either side of the door that is there as you head out the door. But maybe you came, and this happens a lot at Christmas time. There's needs. People have prayer needs for friends, family. You can let us know, and even in confidence, you can mark that box. We have a prayer team that loves to pray for people, and so if you have a special prayer need, let us know that, and that can go in that box as well. And that will be great if we can stand with you in prayer in some way. We want to continue now with our River Family Christmas. We want to hear from the Word of God, the Scriptures that set the tone for what we're doing this morning. The Christmas story, the old story we love to tell over and over again and again. I'm going to invite one of our very special young people now to come and read some of the Word of God to us. So let's listen attentively. Patrick Hanlon, will you come on up? Patrick, where are you? I give him a hand as he comes, guys. Thanks, Patrick.
Luke 1:35. And the angel answered to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the children to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Matthew 1:23. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Luke 2:9-12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
Thank you very much. Well done. Thank you. Patrick has grown up in this church, so we really appreciate him. All right, so our Christmas season is a season of what the church calls Advent, or the coming of Christ. And so in the weeks before Christmas, we take time every service to devote a very specific thought about the unique aspects of Christmas. And so we've been doing that for the past number of weeks, and today is the concluding time. And we're going to be lighting Advent candles, and we're going to be hearing a very special devotional from our own Christina Erickson. Christina, will you please come at this time? And let's give her a hand as she comes up. Thank you so very much. Lord bless you this Christmas. Thank you.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to everyone. And to those online, we wish you Merry Christmas, and we love and care about you. Well, here we are celebrating the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. The season of Advent has gone by so quickly, it's hard to believe Christmas is tomorrow. I pray that during this season of Advent, you have had opportunity to reflect and prepare your heart to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. The past three Sundays of Advent, I have shared on hope, peace, and joy. We can have hope, for in Christ we have a wonderful counselor who guides and directs us. We have a mighty God who fights on our behalf. We have an everlasting Father who never leaves us, who is always with us. We have a Prince of Peace by whom we can have the ultimate peace by being reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Through Christ, we have a shalom peace, a perfect peace, the peace that passes our understanding, a peace that comes to fix that which is broken, whether it's in relationships, finances, health, loss, and grief, a peace even in celebration. We can have joy, a joy that is not dependent upon happy situations, but a joy that delights in the promises of God, no matter what we are going through. Each Sunday, we have lit candles representing hope, peace, and joy. Today, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we will light our last purple candle to celebrate love. Lighting our candles today will be the Hanlon family. Are they here? I saw Patrick. There he is. Come on up, guys. Todd and Kelly and Patrick. I'll keep the white one. It's okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Love, biblical love, meaning compassion and devotion. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This love, this compassion and devotion, is why God sent his only son to die for us, that by believing in him, we could be reconciled to him. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't wait for us to get our act together, to be perfect, or to do this or that right. While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ meets us where we're at. It's not easy to talk about the death of Christ. We want to focus on the serene and beautiful manger scene that we're given, where there is the calm and beautiful Mother Mary and Dad Joseph admiring this precious and perfect baby. This peaceful Christmas picture. Yes, birth is beautiful, but reality is Jesus came to this earth to die for us. This was meant to be. This was God's plan for lost humanity. God sent his son Jesus from perfect heaven to be born of a virgin, to take on human flesh, to walk among us, to live this human life in this dark, sinful world. This light of heaven came to dwell among us. Jesus' words found in John chapter 8, verse 12 say, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus, the light of the world, our Savior, is who we celebrate. This is why we have Christmas. Today, we will also light our fifth and final candle, representing our light of the world, Jesus. A white candle representing the purity of our Savior will be lit by our sister, Sally Shaw. Come on up, Sally. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to be heaven's light in this dark world and dying for us, that we may be reconciled to you. May those who don't know you see your light and have a revelation of your great love. May we all have a fresh revelation of the hope, peace, joy, and love as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen. Happy birthday, Jesus.
All right. Thank you, Christina. That was very good, very encouraging indeed. Those candles really are, there's a peace that comes from that, isn't there? Looking at that, very beautiful. You know, church, amid all the celebration of Christmas, this season can sometimes be a painful and lonely time for some people. And I want to take a moment to remember anyone today who may be grieving, who may be hurting, or who may be ill. Someone here, maybe someone watching online. This blue Christmas poem I want to read right now is for you. There's no room at Christmas for sadness. There's no place for hearts that are blue. All the world wants to hear is a word full of cheer. Not a sigh, not a tear, not from you. There's no room at Christmas for loneliness. There's no place for your emptiness and grief. All the world wants is peace, mistletoe and Christmas trees, not a heartache that mars its beliefs. There's no room at Christmas for sickness. There's no time or place to be ill. All the world wants is health, prosperity, and wealth, not a pain that can spoil its goodwill. There's no room at Christmas for Jesus. There's no place for his family, too. All the world would not share. No one seems to really care. A stable we'll just have to do. Ah, but wait. Yes, there's room at Christmas for sadness. There's a place in God's heart for you. For he knows pain and loss, which he felt on the cross. Christ knows what it's like to feel blue. Yeah. If you're feeling blue today, someone online, I just want you to know that the Lord is caring for you. We care about you, and we're standing with you. And we pray for the Lord to bless you and the Lord to comfort you in this time. God bless you. May he give you his peace in that. All right, well, everyone, we want to continue our Christmas service, our worship, with our Christmas offering now. The financial gifts we would bring to the Lord this day. And if you're a guest with us today, please don't feel obligated to give. Let the service just be a gift to you today, all right? But we want to remind ourselves, as those of us who call this church our home, prepare to give what we'll be giving. We want to remind ourselves the foundation of so much of our generosity as Christians is found in the very first moment when Christ came into this world. When it was said that wise men, Matthew 2:11 records it, the story, the wise men came to the house where the child Jesus was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And notice, connected to their worship, then they opened the boxes of gifts they had brought for him. They gave him treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Familiar with this story, the foundation of our giving. So as we consider our gift today, if today happens to be your day to give, then we want to ask a prayer on those gifts. And before we do that, I also want to let you know Christmas, obviously, is a time for giving. And so our church likes to take a portion of this segment of the service to, at this holiday season, give a gift to a specially designated Christian group or ministry. And we're going to do that again today. And so the group we're going to be giving our gift to today is very near and dear to our hearts because the leaders of this group are part of our church family. The name of the ministry is Loaves and Fishes. And many of you have heard of Loaves and Fishes. Loaves and Fishes, under the leadership of Pastor James and Christy Wilson, work to benefit our community's homeless, working poor, and impoverished children in the name of Jesus Christ. And we already have a big commitment, and I know many of you have already shared this season with them, but we wanted to give them a big gift for the work that they're doing in this next winter season that is upon us now. You know, Thursday was the beginning of winter officially. And so we know how challenging it can be in Reno in wintertime, and there's folks that just have so many extra needs. They're out there faithfully with their team serving. So we're going to be presenting to them a Christmas card with a check for $3,000 in it to support their work. And so we just are excited, and it's your giving, of course, that makes this possible. And so let's pray over the offering today and the gift that we'll be sharing with them. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to remember the story, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the gifts given to you that your work might continue in the world. We pray, Lord, that the gifts we bring today as acts of worship will also, Lord, underwrite the worthy work inside these walls, and just like we're giving today outside these walls to Loaves and Fishes, we pray that your gospel is going to be shared in word and in deed. And so, Lord, the lives that are going to need to be helped this winter through this gift, we pray, will be greatly resourced, encouraged, strengthened. I pray lives will be, yes, saved even because of the work that we're doing in our giving today. But we pray for them and we bless that ministry. Lord, it is a joy and a privilege to give. And thank you that if there's anything, Lord, that you've taught us about Christmas, our relationships to one another, it's because God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that we now, Lord, can be generous and give to. So we give this gift thankfully and with real joy in our hearts, the joy that can only come from being those who give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you wish to share a gift with us today, there's two offering boxes in the lobby there. Of course, online is another way that giving can take place. All right, very good. Well, listen, I'm always really excited about special Christmas music. And today we're very, very blessed to have that happening among us. I'd like to invite Shea Burtz, accompanied by his father, Scott, to come. And they're going to do a great version of Joy to the World. So let's give them a hand as they get going here. Thank you. By the way, this is another young guy that grew up in this church. So we're really excited to have you ministering, Shay and Scott. All right, thanks, guys.
Believe it or not, I am your host, Lance Morrow, and as you know, I have all the answers. The question is, so we're going to call up our first contestant of this evening. We have coming from Galveston, Texas, Amy Fritschner, come on up. All right, welcome, Amy. Amy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, y'all. I'm from Galveston, Texas, and I am a llama mama, and I wait tables, and I serve Jesus, and I love Jesus with all my heart, and I'm just happy to be here, y'all. Woo!
All right, welcome, Amy. She's a llama mama with a little drama. All right, our next contestant coming from Reno, Nevada, Russ Walker, come on up! All right, Russ, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a carpenter, and gosh, I've probably built quite a few homes in this area.
Jesus was a carpenter.
That's you know, true. One of my favorite people's a carpenter. Karen Carpenter.
Oh.
All right. All right, and our last contestant coming from Chattanooga, Tennessee, Andy Anderson, come on up. Andy, nice sweater. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Andy.
Oh, yes, which one? Okay. My name is Andy Anderson, and I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I'm a professional homeschooler, teacher. So, and I do that because I love Jesus, too.
Woo! Good girl!
All right, welcome, Andy, professional homeschool teacher from that bastion of education, Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're going to see how Andy does. All right, audience, you know how this game is played. We're going to read you a question. You are going to go first. You're going to shout, believe, if you believe. You're going to shout, not, if you don't believe. You're going to be providing hints to our contestants. Our first question of this evening is, the world's oldest turtle is 190 years old. Believe it. Or not. Audience, here is your chance. If you believe, shout believe.
Believe.
Shout not if you don't believe. Oh, we have a few nots, contestants. Go ahead and hold up your answers. We have a few believes. The correct answer is believe. That is true. Uh-oh. It looks like Amy and Russ got it correct, and our professional homeschool teacher got it wrong.
Bless her
hey,
heart.
Hey, there's a picture of Jonathan. He looks a little bit faster than Andy, quite frankly. All right, moving on to our second question. Our second question. If an average human, which they are all average, were to walk to the moon, it would take 13 years. Believe it or not. Audience, if you believe, shout believe.
Believe.
If you don't believe, shout not.
Not.
Ooh, we have a mix this time. Go ahead and hold up your answers. All right, we have a couple believes. We have a couple nots. All right, the correct answer is not. It would take 8.8 years for the average humans to walk to the moon. It looks like Amy and Russ got a point, and no, wait a minute, I got it backwards. Amy and Russ didn't get, Andy got a point?
Yay.
All right, Andy. Good job, good for
you.
Good for you. All right, as you know, our third question always comes as a write-in from our home audience. And tonight's question comes from a Stacy Hallecky of Reno, Nevada.
Hey, wait a minute. I think I probably built her house.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, seriously, who writes it? She must be a science fiction writer. Okay, this is going to be an easy one, audience. It's a gimme point. Okay, here's Stacy's question. Over 2,000 years ago, a virgin named Mary was visited by an angel and told her the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and she would give birth to a son named Jesus, who's the Son of God. Okay, obviously easy answer. Studio, y'all know how this played. If you believe this, shout believe.
Believe.
No, you're not playing it right. If you don't think it's true, you don't shout believe. Okay, so wait for not. Let's try again. We need to help out these contestants. If you believe, shout believe.
Believe.
You've got to be kidding me. Okay, contestants, the audience for some reason believes this. Go ahead and let us know if you believe it.
Believe. Yes.
Oh, come on. All right, Amy, you believe this. Tell us why you believe this is true.
Yes, I believe because it is in God's word, the Bible, the truth, his promises. And God sent his angel Gabriel, not Clarence, but Gabriel. And he went to Mary, who was a virgin, and pledged to be married to Joseph, the descendant of the King David. And Gabriel told Mary that she was highly favored in God's eyes, and that she would conceive of the Holy Spirit a child and name him Jesus, and he would be great, and he would be called the Son of the Most High, and he would save us from our sins.
All right. Okay, thank you, Amy. You seem very convicted there. Russ, you said you believe this. Tell us why you believe.
Well, Lansus were very difficult times back then. A lot of single pregnant women were shunned if they were pregnant. Joseph knew he was not the child's father, and he wanted to break off the engagement with Mary. But then an angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him that Mary's baby was the Son of God. Then he understood. For tax reasons, Joseph had to return to his ancestral home of Bethlehem, which was the city of David, for a census. It was a long, hard journey and took many days. Because of their late arrival, and probably so many people due to the census, there was no room at the inn. So they took shelter in a stable where Jesus was born.
All right. Okay. All right, thank you, Russ. Okay, it seems like everybody believes this question. We're going to go ahead and give all our contestants a point and move on here.
Excuse me, Lance.
Okay, I'm sorry, Andy, I skipped you. Go ahead and step up to the mic, say what you have to say.
All right, I would like to share why I believe and they believe, and many people believe. Okay, Russ talked about baby Jesus being born. While baby Jesus was born, there was a bright star in the sky, and it appeared to the shepherds, and they were in the field, and they were, oh my goodness, and they fell down in awe, and the angel announced the birth of our Savior, and the chorus came, many angels came and sang hallelujah, and they believed and followed the star and found baby Jesus and bowed down and worshiped. Then at the same time, in a country far away, there were the Magi, the very wise men at that time. And they had been studying, and they knew a star was going to come and announce the King of the Jews. And they saw it in the sky, and they followed it for many days on their camels. And they found the baby Jesus, and they bowed down and worshiped with wonderful gifts. And they believed. Now, Lance, I want you to understand that they believed, like you should think about. Amy believes, Russ believes, I believe, our audience here and at home believes, the shepherds believed, the wise men believed, Joseph believed, Mary believed. We would like you to consider believing what we have just shared today.
You gotta have faith.
Yeah, Lance.
All right, studio audience, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna go ahead and go to the video triple double. These folks obviously believe. I have questions for them, so they're gonna share with me in the green room. So if you guys can follow me.
Y'all, we need to pray for him. We need to pray for unbelievers.
Thank you.
So much. How's everybody doing? Good. Folks, can we have a little Christmas fireside chat together for just a few moments? Got the fireplace going. I really like that. I was just zoning out there on the front row at that little Christmas carol. Okay, that's great. Okay, so everyone, the big question in that skit and song is also the big concluding question for you and me right now as we consider the birth and life of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it all comes down to a question of identity. Please say with me, identity. Identity. Yes, in other words, who exactly is this child we find in the manger in Bethlehem? I mean, could he actually be who he claims to be? I mean, just think about this amazing miracle of the manger and the incredible things said about this baby, some of which we've already obviously heard this morning. But just to remind everyone, Jesus was born in the simplest of places. His mom, Mary, was just a regular young girl. And yes, he was born in a stable, a barn, really, in a tiny town called Bethlehem. But despite all of that, Jesus made some really astonishing claims about his identity, about who he was. He said he was sent by God, that he was the Son of God, and that he was even one with God. And yes, that's right, an angel even told some lowly shepherds that this baby was truly Christ the Lord. Now, when Jesus grew up, he said that he's like the bread of heaven and living water that can make us feel spiritually full and satisfied. Jesus also said that he has the power to forgive our sins and our mistakes and to give us his love and kindness all for free. Jesus said that he is the only way to find the truth in this world and to have a truly good life. He said that he is the only one who can bring us back to life after we die, and the only one who can save us on Judgment Day. Jesus said he has all power in heaven and on earth, and he promised that one day he will come back to judge everyone fairly. Wow. Okay, that's quite a list. Folks, Jesus claimed he was and would do all of these things. So, what are your thoughts on these extreme statements for a human being to make? Now, some people choose to completely disregard them. Others, although they have great respect for Jesus, don't consider his remarkable statements to be true. In other religions, for example, Jesus is seen as simply a divine prophet or teacher. Or he's viewed as one of the many paths to reach God. Many secular people prefer to admire Jesus from afar, but ultimately they see him as a kind spiritual teacher with a beard. But friends, the famous Christian thinker C.S. Lewis once explained that Jesus didn't give us the option to simply think of him as a good teacher. No, Jesus' own words and actions don't leave any space for that idea, even though it's actually quite a popular idea and many people hold it. Now, actually, you and I really only have three choices when it comes to what we think about Jesus' incredible claims. Either truly, he was who he said he was, the ruler of everything, or he knowingly made false claims and therefore was a liar. Or thirdly, he genuinely believed his claims to be true, but they weren't, which would mean he was either deceived or suffering from a mental disorder. So folks, when it comes to Jesus' mind-blowing claims, we can only pick, if we're honest, one of three conclusions. He's either the Lord, a liar, or a seriously delusional person. But folks, he can't just be a nice spiritual teacher with a beard. But my dear friends, what if he is truly who he says he is? Well, just take a moment to think about the incredible possibilities of that. If he is indeed who he claims to be, then you and I all of a sudden have a very important choice that we have to make. Yeah, it's a decision that will impact us for eternity. Wow, isn't it amazing? What we believe about this special child born in Bethlehem not only determines our eternal fate, I mean, that's about what happens after we die and leave this planet, but it also guides our path in this present world. That's right. You know, we can't simply accept Christ's claims without acknowledging that he has a claim on our lives as well. If he is who he says he is, then all of his promises are real. I mean, for example, he can truly erase our painful past and lift the weight of guilt and regret we carry because of our mistakes and sins.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. He can give us a brand new purpose in life and fill us with his boundless love, his everlasting life, and his amazing grace. It means that everything he says is true, absolutely true. Wow. Yes, deciding on Jesus' identity, confirming that identity, really is a choice that determines our destiny. Let me just say that again. Deciding on Jesus' identity is a choice that determines our destiny. So I want to ask you this morning, do you believe Jesus Christ is who he says he is? I want us to all think really deeply about this crucial question and come to our own conclusions. And I say that because nobody can decide for us when it comes to the amazing story of Jesus' birth and life. It's something we each have to wrestle with and come to make a decision regarding. And Jesus once asked his disciples the very same question. Don't feel like you're alone in this. No, Jesus one time asked them very directly. He said, who do you say I am? Well, some of his disciples at first thought he was John the Baptist. Others believed he was Elijah or one of the old Hebrew prophets come back to life. But then Jesus asked him directly, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Wow. Where did he get that? But okay. I ask, how would you answer that direct question? Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Well, listen, dear friend, we don't have to speculate because Jesus is here by his Holy Spirit. He said where his people gathered together, even just two or three, he would be there present. He's here by his Spirit. And he's speaking to you right now. And he's asking you today personally, who do you say that I am? I'm asking, how will you respond to him this morning? And as you're thinking, please remember that the amazing thing about the manger miracle is that God actually became a human and lived with us. He didn't come to punish us forever, but he came to actually set us free from that punishment. People need to know this. Good news. Now, God became a person so that we could become his children. In fact, John wrote in his gospel, but to everyone who accepted Christ, he gave them the special privilege of becoming God's children. They are the ones who believe in his name. In this very, very special, even I would say sacred moment, I would like to invite anyone right now who would like to become a child of God through faith in Christ to join me in a prayer. Now, I want to make clear, it's only a first step prayer, just a first step. Someone might even say a baby step prayer. But it is a crucial first step. And this prayer can also serve as a prayer of recommitment to Christ if you've been away from him. Because sometimes that's what happens. We wander away from the Lord. And there's a time to come back to him. For someone, maybe that's today. Maybe someone watching online. Right now, on the screen, is the prayer. And I would like to invite you to whisper pray it along with me. Yeah, you know, just whisper pray it aloud. If that's in your heart, I invite you. Let's pray together right now. I'm going to be praying it and leading you in it. Let's pray together. Dear God, I truly believe in the amazing miracle of the manger. I believe with all my heart that this special child born in Bethlehem is exactly who he says he is. He is God in human form, the ruler of life, and the Lord and Savior for everyone who believes in him. Lord Jesus, I have heard about you before, but now I truly want to know you in a personal and genuine way. I want to follow you. Are we together here? I felt people going away from me. Pardon me? It's frozen? Oh, it's different. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to go with the one that's on the screen. All right, so where did I go off path? And let's go back. Okay, I want to go back to Lord Jesus. Yeah. I have heard about you before, but now I want to truly know you in a personal and genuine way. Remember when I said a few minutes ago that Jesus forgives all of our mistakes? Well, you're seeing it in action right in front of you, folks. All right, I'm going to follow the one on the screen. you really still can get saved by praying this prayer. I just want you to know that. The Lord really understands. I have issues. All right. Lord Jesus, I have heard about you before, but now I want to truly know you and experience the incredible miracle of Christmas in my own life. Please forgive me for the wrong things I have done and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to feel the joy of walking with you throughout my journey on earth and spending eternity with you in heaven. I give my whole life to you. Please use me to spread your love and goodness here on earth until the day you come back or call me home. Dear Jesus, I ask for all of this in your name. Amen. 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 Well done. Okay. We just had to make sure. Okay, dear friend, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, very, 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 very seriously, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to offer you this little booklet. It's really actually a very essential booklet. It's a gift to you as you begin or renew your walk with Christ. And as you see, the very appropriate title of this little booklet is Why Christmas? Why Christmas? Inside this little booklet, which I hope you will find time to read at some point, it won't take you long. Maybe, you know, after all the presents are opened and everybody's just kind of laying around on their iPhones watching something silly, you can just crawl away to another corner and just grab this and go, you know what, I'm going to read this. I mean, it'll probably take you maybe 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. Could take a little longer, but you can read it in a couple sittings too. This booklet provides additional vital teaching and direction regarding the decision you would make today for Jesus. Stuff in here is crucial. That prayer is just a baby step. Got to go on to this, okay? Part two. And now that I've gotten you used to doing it again and again, part twos are easy for you. I've got you going down that path. But it provides this important teaching. So please be sure to take one as you leave this morning. They'll be on the information table out there in the lobby. I think they're going to maybe be in some other locations in the building too, where if you see one, grab one and take it, please. So, so vital. Also, if you would like to receive prayer after the service, our prayer team will be here in the front for just a little bit to pray with anyone who came with a very special need. Or maybe there's someone you know that you would say, would you pray with me about this situation? They'd be happy to pray with you and to do that in all confidence. All right? Thank you so much. All right, as I call our music team to come back up right now, will you please stand together with me? You've been sitting for a while. I'm going to ask you to join with me as we now collectively speak a Christmas blessing over ourselves and our families. All right? And, okay, you're good there. All right, very good. Do you think giving a Christmas blessing, speaking it over ourselves, would be good?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, then let's begin together. And I'm going to read off the screen this time, folks, I promise. Let's do it. Let the love that shaped earth and heaven dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that created humanity dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that overcomes suffering and hatred dwell within us this Christmas. That causes us to rejoice with loved ones dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that forgives and renews dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that brings reconciliation after separation dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that brings the blessing of peace dwell within us this Christmas. And may we share that peace with all people, near and far. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we want to conclude our service with two joyful carols, wishing one another a very Merry Christmas, and then I have a word to speak to you quickly about what's next after we get done. Thank you. Okay, so we want to thank you for joining us for our service today, those both here and online. And we just do wish you a very, very blessed Christmas this year. We want to invite you now to please join us for our festive food and fellowship time in the Tahoe Room, which is out that door and down that hallway, all right? And we'll soon be announcing when Santa will be available for pictures, okay? And that'll be announced when we're back there. But again, if you have a prayer need, come on up for prayer. Otherwise, say hi to somebody again and make your way to the back. We have some great food back there. I hope you don't miss it. And some great fellowship, too. God bless you all. And online family, God bless you, too. Have a wonderful Christmas this year, all right? And we'll look forward to seeing you at New Year's. God bless you. Thank you.